And please be seated and turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. Last week we covered the scriptures where all of heaven is weeping, besides God. People are weeping in heaven, the souls of people, angels weeping. You know, who's worthy to open the scroll? And the scroll we believe is really title deed to earth. Who's worthy to open the seals of the scroll to allow God to again take full control of the earth? And it was determined that Jesus alone is worthy to open the scroll. Only he can. And this week we're going to see him actually opening it. We're going to see him popping the seals on the scroll. And as each seal pops, something happens. And it is the beginning of the wrath of God upon earth. It is the beginning of God taking back control. He doesn't do it in one day. He doesn't even do it in 7 years. And this is so important. It's, you know, Revelation 6:1 isn't the beginning of the tribulation period, where we define tribulation as the 7-year, 70th week of Daniel that we covered in our chapter 4, verse 1 study. You know, when people say the tribulation, that means 7 years from the time an Antichrist enforces or confirms a covenant with many for one 7-year period of time. That's the beginning of what is theologically termed the tribulation. Many people think that it's right when the rapture happens in chapter 4, verse 1, from then on it's tribulation. But it's not. Our study today is going to be showing the events of Revelation that lead up to the birth of a global government, the birth of a global leader, the Antichrist, because you have to have global government of 10 nations, according to Daniel. You have to have an Antichrist in charge of that global government before he can enforce the covenant for one 7-year period of time, which is when that tribulation starts. So we're seeing events that I believe, and others, Bill Salas, who's been trying to get this message out for years, and we talked about it years ago, he's been trying to get the message out too. Hey, we're missing something here. It's not rapture today, tribulation tomorrow. There's got to be events that take place to set the stage, and we'll be covering that. But today, Jesus is going to start taking back the power from Satan by bringing judgment to the world. Revelation 5:11, just to lead in, as the people are rejoicing that Jesus is worthy to take the scroll. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne. The living creatures, for those just joining us, they're seraphim, they're angels, these four living creatures right around the throne of God. The elders, it means 24 elders. They're the church. So this is the church up in heaven, or either 24 elders that are got that position within the church and the rest of the churches out there, or they're just representing biblically the church. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, Jesus. Worthy is Jesus to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power to him who sits on the throne, God the Father, and to the Lamb, the Son, forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders, the church, again fell down, worshipped him who lives forever and ever. We worship Jesus. And we covered all that last week. So now we're starting a new division in the book of Revelation. Chapter 6 is truly the wrath of God. It is truly Jesus starting to pop the seals and make things happen that keeps on, it's like a crescendo. It keeps getting worse and worse and worse until the very end. And when God sends Jesus, you know, Jesus is now coming down physically to earth to put an end to the Antichrist armies who have been gathered in the Valley of Megiddo to war to destroy the remaining Jews in Jerusalem area. That's what Satan inside of the Antichrist is trying to do, is wipe out the final remnants of God's people. And Jesus comes back and puts an end to that war and then makes the world great again. And I wore this shirt because I thought about this a few weeks ago, and it inspired Rachel Neubauer here. You're on tape now, so they're going to be flooding you with requests for this shirt. But she made this, and it's the three crosses, and it says, Jesus Christ will make the world great again. Isn't that awesome? And when? Well, Revelation 21, but it starts here. So he's going to make the world great again. And as we are less than, you know, right at 2 weeks, a little bit more away from an election where many people are hoping a man can make the country great again. As I said a few weeks ago, what good does it do to make a country great again when we know historically it's going to go bad again? It always does. There's nothing that causes a revival in a country that it stays that way. Is there any time in history that any country just kept going up and up and up and they stayed that way forever and ever? No. So there is absolutely no hope for man to ever make this place good again. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't vote for the one who are less likely to blow it up tomorrow. But I have no hope in it. I have no hope in the future of this world apart from Jesus. He is the only one that can make it right. And he's promising to make it right. And are we glad he's going to make it right? But you know how he allows, you know, it's not like God is just saying, I'm just going to just slam all you. You know what he does? He says, okay, I'm going to let them have what they want. They want me gone. I'm going to be gone. It's almost, I look at it like somebody that is holding back a pit bull, you know, as people are walking by. And you go, I'm unleashing it. You know, somebody's restraining a pit bull, and then the crowd's walking by and goes, you animal cruelty guy, let him go. And then they go, you're just so cruel, and get down and, you know, get their face chewed off. That's what the world is doing. The world is saying, let Satan go. Let him do his thing. Get rid of God. God is restraining Satan on this earth. God is restraining Satan's demons on this earth. And what does the world want to do? Go worship demons. Go worship Hollywood greats that worship Satan, attribute their talents to Satan. And every time that's happening, they're telling God, let him go. Okay. He's going to let him go. And you know what Satan does? He chews your face off. And he's going to chew the face off of the whole world. Until the point where Jesus says, if I waited any longer after giving them what they want, there would be nobody left on earth. So he shortened the time so there would be people left on earth. Because Satan, left unleashed, will devour and kill all of God's creation. So we have to understand that. And what we also are going to see is, and the angels even say, God, you are so righteous and you're allowing this judgment to come because they have slaughtered your people. They have destroyed the earth. And so why are we studying? Because I'm going to say, we're not, all of you that are true believers in here, we're not going to be here for this, for what we're reading today. But we still study it because I have such joy to know that someday there's going to be justice. Look at the news this week that you can't get because there's censoring. But, you know, you have major political people that are just treasonous, pedophiles, everything else. That's Hunter Biden's, you know, Hunter Biden, all this stuff is coming out from his laptop. And I'm feeling free to say this because his lawyers are not suing these people for slander. They're writing the letter to the guy that got the computer accidentally and got the hard drive copied and released. They're saying him, give back his computer. So when they're saying, give back his computer, then they're admitting that what's on the computer is vile filth that the newspapers can't even print because it'd be against the law because of the laws against child pornography. And you have that, and see, you could go steal a candy bar and go to jail, and then millions of dollars, pedophilia, drug use, all this other stuff can happen in another class of people, and nothing ever happens. And you know what? It's sickening to us, right? It's sickening to us as God-fearing people that there is such an injustice that's in the world. But justice is coming. And so that's the other encouragement we have. Justice is coming. And it's been 2,000 years that God has been restraining him coming back. Why? Because of you. For you. For you getting to that point that you bowed the knee to Jesus and say, I want your justice, but I love your mercy. Because your mercy is that you let Jesus take the justice, you know, the punishment that I deserved upon himself on the cross. And because of your love for me, that you let him do that. Then I want to serve you forever. Isn't that good? Yeah, true Christians, we're kind of crazy. We just want to love this God who loved us. And they think that we're strange to just want to do that. He's coming back and he's going to bring justice. And we're so glad because in all of eternity, we're not going to have different class structures, the untouchables, because of their connections and their family names. We're just going to have Almighty God and his law forever. Chapter 6, verse 1. Now I saw, we're going to read 1 through 8 and then look at those more carefully. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, come and see. Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. When he opened up the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. So all this, again, is to me, my understanding, which hasn't always been this way, but I've been convinced this is all before the tribulation. This is before the tribulation because these are the things that are going to cause the nations of the world. I've been saying 190. I was looking at a list this last week. Only 172 of them made this list that I'll talk about later. 172 nations, whatever. There's going to be something that has to be so horrible that this world wants to morph into, instead of nation states, it's going to morph into a global government. And as I mentioned back when we were doing chapter 4, verse 1, I know the globalists, which do exist, it's not a conspiracy theory, they're real, they want the world to be 10 areas. 10 nations. They're going to have a governor over each area. The North American Union is one of them. I've seen their map of Canada, formerly the United States, and Mexico. It's going to be morphed into the North American Union. There's going to be the African Union, the South American Union, the Asian Union, Southeast Asia Union. There's going to be 10. I've seen the map. I've seen their plans. They took it down off of the European Commission website after I snapshotted and taught on it. I know what they plan to do. And people can say, oh, they'll never... I had people in the shipyard when I was talking to them when I used to work in the shipyard. Yeah, it'll never happen. Never happen. And then I'd say, really, the Bible says it's going to happen. Well, not in my lifetime. Well, I wonder what they're thinking now. Because it's in the news how they want to do it. It's in the news that we can't close our borders. And they're all the animosity against closing borders. Because they have a plan. And they're going to implement it. And see, there has to be global government before there can be an Antichrist who rises according to Daniel, our study in Daniel, who then enforces a covenant which starts the 7-year tribulation period. So, going to verse 6:1 again. Now I saw the Lamb open the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a loud voice, come and see. Four living creatures, the seraphim. These are angelic beings. They are prominent in bringing God's judgment to earth. We're going to see as we go through the texts of Revelation. And I looked and behold a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow. And a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Now the preterists, people who think all of Revelation was fulfilled in the 70 AD destruction of the Jews and the temple and everything, and now the church is bringing in God's kingdom through the teaching and preaching of the gospel, which is causing everybody to just love the scriptures, love God's law, and the church is going to take over the world. So they think this is just the church taking over. Is that what we see? We're not seeing it. And yet there's people, even people that I know in our community, that just, they keep on thinking there's going to be revival. It's good. The church is going to win. We're going to take over, because that's what they're thinking. They reject the whole idea of dispensational thought, that the Jews are really the Jews. They weren't all wiped out in 70 AD and God is still using them. So anyway, that's view number one. I reject it because it's not even the truth. Many other scriptures in the Bible say that, well, God even find faith on the earth when he comes. So how do you have Jesus saying, well, I find faith on the earth when what the preterists are saying is the church is going to take over the world and Jesus is going to come back. Finally, you guys got your act together and subjugated the world under the authority of the church. So I'd rather believe Jesus. So most prophetic teachers, including what I used to teach, is that the writer is the Antichrist. And the writer being the Antichrist really developed by the idea that rapture today, tribulation tomorrow, Antichrist is there. But what gives birth to the Antichrist according to Daniel that we spent a lot of time in chapter 4 verse 1? Is what gives birth to the Antichrist is the world changing into 10 nations, which is a lot of chaos like we just read about. And now he's in charge. And what is he embraced by the world as? The great peacemaker, the great ruler of the world. So if he's the guy that's going out and making war and causing destruction, and a fourth of the world's population being wiped out, then why are the Jews worshiping him, or not worshiping him, but treating him as their long-awaited Messiah, which is what the Bible says will happen? No, I think. So I'm ruling out Antichrist. And why do they say that? They say, well, you know, the Antichrist is not white, right? He's not white robes is righteousness. And then the people who believe it is the Antichrist will say, well, he's pretending to be righteous. He's pretending to be, and you know, I can buy that. But when comparing with Daniel, he can't be in power yet. So. And unlike the other, see, it doesn't say, you know, the second horse wipe out a bunch of people with a great sword of killing everybody. Then the third horseman, famine, destroys everybody. Fourth horseman is like truly death just vacuums up a fourth of the world's population, which is a lot of people. But this first guy is not causing death. So, a while ago I read an 1800s writer named Joseph Seitz. And if you read Joseph Seitz's commentary on Revelation, you'll be shocked out of your mind. Because what he did, I mean, this guy was something in being able, before Israel was a nation, saying Israel has to become a nation. The Jews have to be back, returned to the land. The Jews have to be back in the land. They have to be there. The temple has to be rebuilt because the Bible just says it. At a time when it was impossible to think it would ever take place. This is when Mark Twain is going through the promised land and go, this place is a wasteland. There's just a bunch of Arabs and stuff and nothing, no trees. This is like, why would you want to come here? That was what was happening in the 1800s when Mark Twain went there. You would have never, he just, by the authority of the Word of God, he said, many things. Maybe he's, and I'm going to say, I'm not sure who it is, except I kind of am ruling out the Antichrist. And then here's what Joseph Seitz says. The writer of this horse, and I'm only doing a little bit of what he said. You can get his book online. Joseph Seitz, 1823 to 1904. He taught these in 1870s to 80s, these studies of Revelation, and it was turned into a full book in 1900. It says, the writer of this horse has a bow. This is an instrument of war, but as no literal slaughter connects with this horseman, it cannot refer to the destruction of life, but to a moral effect. Yeah. So in other words, he's going out to conquer, but not to kill. And similar imagery is used to denote conquest resulting in salvation. Habakkuk says, and this is the verse that I think is the scripture interpreting the scripture. I agree with him that this Habakkuk scripture is possibly the key to understanding the scripture of Revelation 6 for the first writer. Thou didst ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation. Thy bow has made quite naked even thy word. What's the bow? The word of God. And what's the word of God doing as it's going out? In this case, the word of God is bringing judgment to the world. And it is the word of God prophesied it's going to happen. It's the word of God saying God wins and Satan loses. It's on and on and on. And so what's going to happen? We know from other scriptures in Revelation, how many people get saved during the tribulation period? A myriad of people. From every tribe and tongue and nation, a massive number of people on this planet who missed the rapture are going to be getting saved and then killed. And we're going to see that as we go through Revelation. What is it that gets them saved? The word of God going out. Well, Kevin, the Christians are going to be raptured. So how's the word of God? Well, we're going to find out next week. 144,000. God says he never does anything except he warns by the prophets first, says in Amos. And so we go, and then God uses 144,000 witnesses, which we'll talk about. And then they go, because we see in Revelation 14, they're up in heaven. They go, and then what happens? Well, we see in Revelation 14 that all of a sudden there's angels flying around the world. I mean, literal angels flying around, talking to every tribe and tongue and nation. That'll be a wild day, won't it? Every tribe and tongue and nation, and they're going to be saying, don't worship the Antichrist. Instead, worship him who created the heavens and the earth. Don't take the mark in your hand or your forehead, the name of the beast, because if you do that, you're going to be eternally lost in hell. And, you know, so they're going to be warning people, and there's going to be people listening to that warning. And they're going to be coming out of the tribulation period as tribulation saints. They're going to be martyred for doing it. I was talking to a young man who was visiting the church, and I said, are you there yet? Are you going to give up? No. Not going to give in to Jesus now. And I go, okay, all right. So if we do get raptured, because we were talking about that, what are you going to do then? He goes, well, then I'm going to get kind of serious. Okay. All right, you and I need to make an appointment. I need to show you in the office. And when we switch the office over to the new location, then I'm going to have to show you there again. But here's where the Bibles are. Here's where this is. And this is what you need to do. And stand by for festivities, you know. Man, it's just like, how could you? The language employed concerning the career of this horseman is also suggestive. He goes forth conquering and to conquer. There is an idea of continuity in the expression. It describes an ongoing of the work. It is not a past or mere present success, but a continuous one resulting, along with what else comes upon the scene, in complete and sovereign domination. Some people in the tribulation period are going to get it. They're going to say, oh man, my mom, dad, grandpa, whatever, warned me before, and look at what's happening. And one thing they said is, don't go for this global government guy, and do not take his name, and I will not. And that's the word of God. The word of God is coming in, and it's going to be touching the hearts of the people through the 144,000 preaching, the two witnesses in Jerusalem preaching, the angels going through the sky, and there's going to be myriads of people saying, You can kill me if you want to, but I am not going to bow to the Antichrist. But they're going to die. So, isn't this cool? The very first thing God does in his judgment is makes it clear that his mercy is still available to everybody who will just simply listen to his word. So that's what I think the horseman is. I could be wrong. The people that say it's the Antichrist could be right. I'm just throwing that out as a possibility. Second seal. Chapter 6, verse 3. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, come and see. Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. Again, allowing the people of the earth to get what they want. They don't want God to restrain them, do they? People don't want to be restrained by thou shalt nots, do they? They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it in their classrooms. They don't want to hear it through us crazy Christians being able to vote. And if we are going to vote, then they're going to print new ballots and do their thing or whatever they're going to do. And they just don't want God. And he's going to unleash him. So how is peace taken from the world? Let's turn to Daniel chapter 10, verse 18. And I have to say that something to keep in mind about tribulation saints, which are not the church. See, the church was promised that we'll never see the wrath of God, right? I mean, the Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, says he has not appointed us to wrath, but to salvation. And then people could say, well, Kevin, you know, you're saying the first seals, first, second, third, fourth, the seals of the scroll, seven seals. That's the wrath of Jesus. But these people, the church, the people that do become saved and part of the church after the tribulation start, you know, after the chapter six starts, that they're going to be experiencing the wrath of God because people are going to die when peace is taken from the world. People that fear God are going to die. And that's the wrath of God that's happening. Well, they're not church. See, a new dispensation happens. It's the tribulation dispensation. In the church dispensation, we're promised not to see the wrath of God. And the way this one fact alone just makes me realize that there has to be a pre-70th week of Daniel rapture. Because this is the wrath of God as Jesus pops his heels. And he promised me I'm not going to see his wrath. Now, does that mean that Christians aren't going to see wars that they die from? Well, we've seen that throughout history. People, you know, throughout the history of the church, there's been wars. Throughout the history of the church, people, Christians, have died of famine. They've died of famine. They've been chewed up by animals, all kinds of things. But see, that wasn't the wrath of God. This is unique. What's going to be happening for a fourth of the world's population to die at one time is a unique act of God and the wrath of God by withdrawing his restrictions on Satan. Never a time in the history of the world was one-fourth of the world's population able to be destroyed, except by some kind of disease or something that would come. So, and even then, even the big diseases of the plague and stuff didn't kill a fourth of the world's population. So let's look at Daniel, because I want to emphasize that it is the restraining force of God and his angels that restrains the devil's desire to kill. And in Daniel, Daniel was, you know, being talked to by this angel, and he was praying, God, I want an answer, I want an answer. And this angel comes and says, basically, I was delayed in spiritual warfare with one of the demons that were over a nation. So that nations have angels. And they have angels of God, and they have angels of Satan. And there's warfare in the spiritual realm according to the Bible. Daniel chapter 10, verse 18. Then again, the one having the likeness of a man, this angel, touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. Now he's not, this angelic being is not talking about, beating up on some prince, human prince of the Persian Empire. He's talking about the demonic prince that is over Iran. Persia was, today, Iran. Return to fight with the prince of Persia. Try and, it must have been a powerful, powerful demon. And he's fighting. We're going to see that in Revelation 12. We're going to see the type of angelic battles that are at play. And so he's trying to just get his arm around the pit bull and collar it up and restrain it. And when I have gone forth, indeed, the prince of Greece will come. Then the demon that's in charge of Greece is going to come, and Greece is going to rule the world through Alexander the Great. But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. No one upholds me against these except Michael, your prince, Michael the archangel, that we're going to see in chapter 12. And he says, your prince, because Michael is clearly the archangel that is there to protect the Jewish people. So your angel, see, that's your guy, because Daniel, you're a Jew, and Israel has its archangel in charge, which is Michael the archangel. So going back to Revelation 6:4, and actually, turn to Matthew 24:6, and I'll just read 6:4 again. Another horse, it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. Man, oh man, does it seem like people are getting ready to kill one another? For those of you that aren't gun owners, man, you know, people say, well, I better go get a gun. Good luck. You know why? Because flown off the shelves the last few months. And they go, oh, I got one, Kevin. See, I could get one. Yeah, good luck with the ammo. You ever been into the sports stores lately? You know, you go to the ammo for all the handguns and AR type of rifles. Yeah, you could, you know, tell them, hey, could I store some of my household goods here? You got all this empty space. It's not there. The world is getting ready. Our country is getting ready for conflict. I watched a video in Undercover, you know, the people that tape people, they think they're talking to a friendly, you know, Project Veritas tape. Talking to this Democrat guy. And he's going, yeah, man, we're going to kill. I mean, I'm going to, on the third, I'm going to be there right next to my gun safe. And if Trump wins, then it's killing time. And if Biden wins, well, then he's got a good signature hand. If he does what we want him to, then fine. Otherwise, we're going to deal with that. Meaning, he's going to sign all the progressive, socialist, communist bills that they want for the takeover, communist takeover of our country. If that's what he does with his hand, then everything's good. And if not, we're going to kill him. Peace is about to be taken from the world. See, I'm telling you, there's so many signs that the stage is being set for conflict that could lead to a fourth of the world's population dying. If that conflict is on the horizon, because for the first time in the history of the world, it's so easy to do, to wipe out a fourth of the world's population, then that means we're soon out of here. So again, anybody that doesn't believe in Jesus, really, I mean, we will show you where the Bibles are. Stop by in the office when we get it moved in. We will even try and make some hidden places because, of course, as soon as we're gone, the communists are going to come. They're going to confiscate every Bible. They're going to shut down every Christian website. They're going to completely destroy every single DVD. Every single YouTube posting of a Bible study is going to be gone because that's what commies do. That's what Satan does to censor the truth that can save your soul. So you better get it quick. We are getting close to being able to fulfill this literally. Chapter 24:6. This is Jesus speaking about this day. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. In other words, he was talking to a future generation that says, we're going to nuke the planet off and you know, we're going to destroy everybody in the world. And Jesus is saying, nope, that's not how it's going to end. It's not going to end by the complete destruction of people in war. Never possible until now. For nation, and the word there in the Greek is ethnos, for ethnos will rise against ethnos. Is there an ethnic problem in the world today? Is it actually been fomented by forced mass migration funded by billionaires to get ethnos with ethnos and then trying to stir up the ethnos and against ethnos? To try and stir up race riots and stuff. Why do they want to do that? Because they want to bring death. Because through death and chaos comes what? Power. Power. And then when we bring the power, we'll be able to control the world. And so you need chaos to bring power to the elite. And so he said, and kingdom against kingdom. See, that's where nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. You know, what is he doing? Repeating himself? No. It's going to be an ethnic and a nation against nation. China against America, America against, you know, whatever is going on. All the are things on a hair trigger there? The Chinese have told their people we're going to go to war with America. They're planning it. And then And then because Trump doesn't like John McCain, he sends the destroyer right into their waters. Say, go ahead and sink that one. I don't care about that one so much. I mean, that's what people are saying. He sends it right in there. And basically, do you realize if that destroyer gets sunk by going into disputed territories of China, that could get things going? And kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. If you have a New American Standard, it says they will be the beginning of birth pains. Meaning, it's when the wife goes, oh, it's time. And at first, it's like, I feel contractions. Well, the contractions start in chapter 6, and then they get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, closer and closer to part, closer and closer, until chapter 19, Jesus comes back. The beginning of birth pangs until Jesus comes back. And we'll see that going through Revelation. So, and see, it says the beginning of problems is going to be this war. Because that war is going to cause people to say, I don't care about my nation, just give me food and Monday Night Football, and I'm good. Just give me food and games, they used to say in Rome. Food, just give the people food and games. They're our slaves. We've allowed ourselves to be enslaved by our entertainment culture. People would care more and know more about teams and players than they do about the Word of God and the Creator of the universe. There's unfulfilled wars that are in the Bible that might be part of this war that leads to a fourth of the world's population dying. One of those is Isaiah 17. Please turn there. And again, going back to this ethnos, for all of you homeschoolers especially, if you haven't learned about it, and all of us adults, we should really learn about Rwanda, what happened in Rwanda. Amazing. Just an assassination of a guy in a plane. And they had already been sending machetes out to the people that they, you know, like sending machetes to Antifa. That's what they did. And then they said, okay, let loose. And then they just started hacking up the Tutsis. And so, and killed, you know, million of their own people in a demonic rage. Because there was this one special done on TV, and they were neighbors. They got along with their kids and everything. But he said, something came over us, and we just, I don't know why I was doing it. Demonic rage. The restraining power was pulled away for whatever reason. And Isaiah 17 has never been fulfilled. It's a verse in Isaiah about Damascus. Damascus is the oldest continuously inhabited city in the world. And this prophecy, the burden or prophecy against Damascus, behold, Damascus will cease from being a city. It will be a ruinous heap. The cities of Aurora, which means denuded destruction. That name of the city, which there is a city, but it was denuded destruction. I'm from Destruction City. But their cities of Aurora are forsaken. They will be for flocks which lie down, and no one will make them afraid. So animals will go into these cities, but nobody's going to bother them. Now, when would animals go into a city and no one would ever bother them? For those of you that remember Chernobyl, did you know that around Chernobyl, it's still a wasteland as far as people are concerned, but the animals are thriving there. They don't know how to read yellow magenta signs. They don't know how to have radiacs, you know. Oh, high radiation area here. And they're actually thriving. And people don't mess with them. They don't even want to eat them because they're radioactive. They're not radioactive enough to kill them. And so I think this is a 2,700-year-ago prophecy speaking to us in a term that we could understand what God was telling us before nukes were even invented. That's, yeah, you can take or leave that. I think that's what he's saying. The fortresses will also cease from Ephraim. Israel will lose its strong fortresses in northern Israel. The military bases will be destroyed. The kingdom from Damascus. Damascus will no longer be the capital of Syria. And the remnant of Syria will be as the glory of the children of Israel, which means millions of Syrians die, says the Lord of hosts. Go to verse 9. In that day, his, man's, Strong cities will be as a forsaken bough in an uppermost branch, which they left because of the children of Israel, and there will be desolation. Now, based on that verse alone, if this is part of Revelation 6, then I would say what triggers it off is not China sinking the John McCain. And even if it is because China sinks the John McCain, the world will blame Israel for it, which is typical too. It's going to be because of it. People are going to leave their strong cities, and it's going to be because something happened that they'll blame on Israel, getting the war going. And that's what I think is implied here. I spent an hour, and I have the link here, on our webpage, on our YouTube channel, calvarypo.org webpage. Go to the YouTube link. War and Destruction, a study of Isaiah 17 and Psalm 83. Part 1 is Isaiah 17. Go to Psalm 83, 1. I also have War and Destruction, a study of Isaiah 17 and 83. Part 2, which is Psalm 83. This is a war that Amir believes has already taken place when Israel became a nation in 1948 and they were invaded by all the people who were saying, let us cause Israel to cease from being a nation. And that this, and it's really not a prophecy. It's just the psalmist praying to God, look at all these people that are surrounding Israel and want to cause us to cease from being a nation. God, burn them as the chaff of the wheat. Burn them with, like you did back in the days of Judges when you miraculously allowed Gideon and others to destroy the enemies of Israel. And he thinks that was fulfilled in 48 and 67 and 73 and 82. And I'm saying it hasn't been totally fulfilled yet because of what it says at the end. So let's just read this quickly. It says, do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace and do not be still, O God. For behold, your enemies make a tumult. And those who hate you have lifted up their hand. They have taken crafty counsel against your people and consulted together against your sheltered ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. Go to verse 11. By the way, when this was prophesied, there was no Israel. There never was a nation of Israel that was sovereign and in control of the land of Israel until 1948. So people that say that God has cast off the Jews, they have to say, well, what do you do with all these prophecies that can't be fulfilled without the Jews in the land? Oh, just get rid of those. No, we can make God a liar and say that his prophecies can't come true. No, it's because the Jews had to be back in the land. Make their nobles like Oreb and Zeb. This is from the book of Judges. You can go read all that. Who said, let us take for ourselves the pastures of God for a possession. Do the Palestinians want to take the land of Israel back for themselves? Do the Arab nations, even the ones that have made, quote, peace with Israel. See, Amir will emphasize the peace treaties with Jordan and everything else. How much trust are you going to put in a peace treaty with people that are Muslim Arabs? It could change in a day. And it could be crafty counsel. It says crafty counsel. Oh my God, make them like the whirling dust, like the chaff before the wind, as the fire burns the woods and as the flames set the mountains on fire. Let them be, and go to verse 17, let them be confounded and dismayed forever. Are they confounded and dismayed forever? No. Yes, let them be put to shame and perish, that they may know that you, whose name alone is the Lord, are the Most High. All the Arab nations around Israel, who do they say is the only God? There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is a prophet. That's going to change. And until that changes, this hasn't been completely fulfilled. And so, Psalm 83, Isaiah 17, whatever else is going to cause this whole world to get into nukes and doing stuff and starting to form the New World Order. And then I would say then Ezekiel 38:39 is going to happen, because Ezekiel 38:39 is not ready to happen now. And you can go to our 1 hour teaching on this, which I'm obviously not going to take that time. But it says timing of Gog Magog war, Psalm 83 and Ezekiel 38:39. That's on our YouTube channel also, and if you're interested, you can get the full-blown teaching on that. So let's go back to Revelation 6:5. So bottom line is there's going to be a global war. And, man, the weapons we come up with, man, I kind of love military technology just because I'm warped. But it really is amazing the way We know how to kill people. Isn't that something? And when the world does get done with a fourth of the world's population dying, and then the New World Order comes in and says, we got a plan, and the plan is we're going to make it so nobody can make war. We're going to make you get rid of all your nukes. We're going to make you get rid of your chemical weapons and your biowarfare. And we're going to use all those trillions of military tax dollars to let you all have a sustainable wage. And so then there will never be war again. Do you think the world is going to buy that story? Absolutely. They're going to say, yes, whatever it takes, do that. Stop spending that money for that stuff. And just pay my bills. And so they'll be ready after this kind of conflict happens. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius. Now, a quart of wheat is like sustainable. And you're going to work all day for it. It means you're going to work all day for just to eat your meal, to stay alive. And three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not hurt the oil and the wine. People have all kinds of ideas about that, which I won't even belabor. You know, don't hurt the night. The elites, the pull-up bureau of the future, the New World Order, they'll be fine with their oil and everything. But people, the normal people of the world, will be scrambling for a meal. By the way, I have in your notes, if you haven't heard about the Holodomor, and I don't know if I'm saying that right because it's Ukrainian. Anybody know Ukrainian? Did I say it right? No. It means death by hunger. When Stalin took over, he told the Ukrainians, hey, you know, you're part of us. We're in control of you. I want you to, all you farmers, you no longer own your property. We own it. The collective owns it. Collective farming. And the farmers were saying, no, this is my farm. It's been in my family's life forever. And I'm going to keep farming it. Oh, yeah. Boom. And then the other people didn't like it. And so then Russia says, okay, we'll make these people comply. And they sent their stormtroopers in there, and they got all the grain, put it on train cars, take it into Russia. And all the people were saying, whoa, that's our food. Yep. And killed millions of them in a month. And, you know, actually most of them in a month, because it only takes, you don't have food, you're going to die in a month. And so they're scrambling, and you read those horror stories of what people were doing to try and get away from the famine. And this is out of Wikipedia. This term, death by hunger, refers to the starvation of millions of Ukrainians 1932 to 33 as a result of Soviet policies. The starvation by hunger can be seen as the culmination of an assault by the Communist Party and Soviet state on the Ukrainian peasantry who resisted Soviet policies. Same thing happened when Pol Pot took over Cambodia. Same thing with Mao Zedong took over China. You know, and Stalin, of course, did this, and he killed a bunch of millions of other of his own people because of collective bargaining. You know what the Canadian, this is news out of Hal Turner, a former FBI guy, has contacts, and he's therefore, because he's a source to warn us about what's happening, a Canadian parliamentary guy in one of the provinces, he fed Hal Turner with this information that Hal Turner gave the title, Canada Going Tyrannical, Second Total Lockdown, Isolation Camps for Refusers. And this parliamentary guy in Canada, and I watched the video of him talking, he goes, we've been meeting in these committees, and here's what's coming out of the committees, is that the next total lockdown, real or imagined, that's going to force everybody into hard lockdown, finish off the economy, collapse the economy of the world. And then out of that is going to come the International Monetary Fund coming to the citizens of the world saying, you know, it's been a terrible thing, you know, these back-to-back problems, pandemics, and the economies have collapsed, no fault of ours. And we're going to rescue the rest of you, and here's what you do. We're going to pay off all of your debts, but you won't own anything. We're going to pay off your debt. We're going to give you a sustainable wage, and we're going to level the playing field, and the haves are going to help with the have-nots, and we're going to make this an equal world, global communist utopia. And it's not optional. And if you have your own house all paid off or anything, so that's not optional either, because he was asking, he was saying, what about people? The International Monetary Fund will figure that out. The details will be later. This guy stood up and said, well, when it says that they're sending people into the internment camps, what exactly do you mean? And this one guy gets up and he goes, if the member is saying that we're going to continue when COVID people come from other countries and they come in and we put them in quarantine just to make sure before they reintroduced into the Canadian society, well, we're going to keep doing that. And he goes, no, that's not what we agreed on. It's like people, even though they don't have COVID, will be going into the detention camps. Shut down, sit down, shut up. Next question by the parliamentary head. And because it's going to be another pandemic, everybody's going to have to get what? You're going to have to get your vaccine. This is their plan. If you get the vaccine, then you get the debt payoff. Then you get the sustainable wage. Then you get the travel certificate. If you don't, then you get forced isolation. Basically, they put a siege on your house. How long can you eat? Oh, you must have stored up. You must have been a prepper. then they're going to come and get you and put you in the detention center as a hazard to the population because you refuse what's necessary to make you a safe person to be out in public. This week leaked out of Canada. Are we ready? Is the world getting ready? I'm not wanting to scare anybody. I'm not scared about this, are you? Because if this plan, and again, Christians have starved. Christians have been killed in war. All this other stuff has happened. But this is global government stuff. This is stuff that is lining up with Revelation 6. This is stuff that is going to be global warfare. And so I'm thinking, this is just like, we're soon out of here. And even if we're misunderstanding that, even if this is a lead up and Jesus isn't popping the scrolls, popping the seals yet, and it's not the wrath of God, it's not the rapture yet, I don't care what they do. Because I know what Jesus has already done. 2,000 years ago, he died on the cross for my sins, and nobody can take my soul away from me. Jesus has given me everlasting life. And you can get a vaccine if you want to, and if it kills you, so what? You're in the presence of Jesus. If you don't get it and they kill you, who cares? You're in the presence of Jesus. Whatever happens, it doesn't matter. Unless you're not saved, and then you've got a serious problem. Chapter 6, verse 7. Then he opened the fourth seal, and I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. So it's like Hades is a vacuum cleaner, vacuuming up all the souls of those who died in unbelief. Because if you die in belief, you go straight to heaven to be with God, even during the tribulation period, because we see that, except we're not going to get there. We see that a few verses later, where God makes it clear that there's a bunch of people being given white robes of righteousness. And why are they there? They're saying, God, how long until the people that have killed us are dealt with by you? And he goes, wait a little longer. A little bit longer for my mercy, my word of God, to continue to go out into the world. You know, I know you got killed to get here, but you're going to have others that are going to come to saving faith, and I'm not going to stop it right now. But the people that get scooped up into Hades, they're the ones that rejected God. And they're going to be lost forever and ever. They're going to be sitting in Hades until the great white throne judgment in Revelation 19. Then they're going to stand before God and say, oh, your name's not written in the book of life. You don't have life because you rejected Jesus, my son. And they'll be going to the lake of fire. Death and Hades and power was given them over the fourth of the earth, close to 2 billion people, to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beasts of the field. And I'll close with this final point because we are going a little long. Write down www.daegel.com /forecast. Okay, and you know, this is, and there's people, oh, this is conspiracy, da, da. No, this is truly an intelligence source for people that are, they do intelligence. They look at all the nations of the world, the trends, the political trends, et cetera, and they project populations into the future. What is the likelihood in light of all the different things that are going on? And people use this data. Now, they're not all-knowing. They're not God. God knows what the future is. They use as much brain power as they can to make this report for people. This is what they say about the United States, 2025 projected population. You know what they say? 99 million people. Down from 326 million people. That's a 70% reduction. You know when the last time America had 99 million people? The beginning of World War I. 1914. July 1914. That was the population then. Real gross domestic product for the U.S. in billions. Gross domestic product, $1.6 trillion. Previously, $19.43 trillion. Percent reduction, 92%. Defense budget in billions of dollars, $32 billion. Previously, $637 billion. 95% reduction. Power purchase parity, $16,000 compared to $59,000 now, 72% reduction. They're not very positive about America. And there's a bunch of other, and you know the other nations that are, I didn't want to go 172 nations, but I went through several of them, and the ones that really take the hit, Italy, France, Israel, the Western people, they're projecting to take the hit. And then this is the note that they have that we'll close with. If there is not a dramatic change of course, the world is going to witness the first nuclear war. The Western bloc collapse may come before, during, or after the war. It does not matter. A nuclear war is a game with billions of casualties. And the collapse, you know, throughout the war, the collapse that's coming plays in the hundreds of millions. That's their intelligence analysis of America's future by 2025. Now, that's talking in terms of Revelation 6, isn't it? And if it's talking in Revelation 6 kind of cataclysms for the world, and if I'm right, you know, others are right, that the wrath of God we're not here for, and if that's what's going to happen is a fourth of the world's population dies, then it's time to have loose attachments to this world and to emphasize the need to share with people who are still lost and are going to be left behind, to give them the gospel. My final appeal to anybody here, don't be like that young man. I don't believe now, but if the rapture happens, then I will. I'll look for a Bible. Don't do that. Don't do that. I mean, this, 2,000 years ago, this was prophesied. First time in history, in the case of Isaiah 17, first time, 2,700 years ago, first time in history that all these things are converging into a time that can be literally fulfilled, including animals will go into a city and nobody's going to bother them. For 2,700 years before, you know, 1945 when we dropped a bomb, people would have said, what are you talking about? What kind of city gets destroyed? And then people don't go in there and try and live in the city. Yeah, they're going to go get the animals. They're going to go kill them. They're going to eat them. What do you mean, you crazy Christian, you crazy prophet? Now we know. And we're living in a time that is being fulfilled before our very eyes. May God help us to be serious about the business of Jesus and trusting in Him. Amen. Father, we thank You for Your word. I thank You that You alone are God, that Jesus is worthy. And as we see the, you know, even sitting here 2 weeks away from even beginning conflicts in the Western world, that this Daigle intelligence group says that, you know, it's the Western culture is falling apart and going into chaos. That, Lord, we thank You that there's nothing chaotic about the rock that we're standing on. the immovable rock of faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, and the world that's built on the sinking sand is going to soon before you fall. And yet we'll have our faith in you is real, and it's going to deliver us safely into your presence however we get there, Lord. Help us to walk by faith and not by the sight of the things that are around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship God. Came at the cross. He's been waiting for 2,000 years for you. And for those that have bowed, praise Jesus. For those that haven't, if you don't leave today, I'm here to talk. The people that brought you to talk, we'd love for you to bow the knee with us and get ready for Jesus to come back, because he's overcome and he's coming again. And it's going to be wonderful for those that love him. God bless you. Keep you in his care until we can fellowship again. And, because we're moving pretty soon, we're not going to be able to do printers and stuff until we get the old internet set up. So really do bring your Bibles. We're going to try and have notes, and I'm going to try and post the notes onto the website so you could even use our wireless here and read them on the website if that helps out. But it'll be always available when we post at the website. So please do come up if you want to talk more about giving your life to Jesus, if you haven't already. God bless you.